Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League, the Champions League and the Europa League. I'm Robbie Musto and he's Robbie Earle, and here are today's topics. Manchester United versus Liverpool postponed due to safety and security concerns after protesters breached Old Trafford and invaded the pitch before kickoff. Man City now 3 points away from clinching the title after their win at Selhurst Park. Chelsea solidifying their spot in the top four, while Fulham's survival hopes are nearly gone. And we look ahead to those crucial Champions League semi-finals for Manchester City and Chelsea. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The spirit of performance defines Acura, and now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all on its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric never could be. It was built with a driver in mind, just like Acura's been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience the electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Okay, Robbie Earle. Tough day, my friend. We're in the studio all day today. Tough day, long day, pretty unprecedented scenes. We know what's been going on with the Super League and the protests of the fans of those clubs. They varied in the amount of reaction to them. We saw Arsenal thousands outside the Emirates protesting, but it changed. It was different today. We were expecting a protest at Manchester United against Liverpool today.
Yeah.
Big game at Old Trafford. And it happened, Rob, and there was a big protest, and there were thousands of people there to make their thoughts and feelings known of the ownership, the Glazers of Manchester United. And I guess the Super League breakaway and United being part of that was the final straw for some United fans, Rob, or lots of United fans. And we've heard that over the years, and we understand in a lot of ways what they're going through. But we both felt that a number of fans today, Rob, let's say that, it's a minority of fans, crossed the line. And the scenes that we saw at Man United with fans forcing their way into Old Trafford, getting out onto the pitch, jumping over the goals, damaging stuff that's there, was pretty tough to watch, Rob. And I would just stop there and get your initial take.
Yeah, I'd agree, mate. And I think it's one of those days where we have to, as objective journalists, analysts, pundits, you know, rip up the format, rip up the structure, and talk openly and honestly of what we saw today. I think the first thing to say, Rob, is that I'm not a Manchester United fan by any means, but I have a huge respect for Man United. It's been a big, it's been part of my life, from watching games to playing games there and enjoying that, to working games there, as I have in England, as we have as part of the NBC team. So, and it's a special football place. It always has been. You think of moments back in your career, and Old Trafford always comes up. You think of the day you played well, you didn't play so well, you got beat, you got a draw. Sir Alex was doing his, you know, Fergie time. And there's so many things that make this a magical football club. So I just want to put that out there first, Rob. But in my opinion, the protests that were meant today, and there was a letter going out early this week that the Manchester United fans were going to, you know, in their numbers, go and protest peacefully, I believe, how it was communicated, in front of the stadium while the game was, maybe before the game, while the game was going on. And unfortunately, the noise, the impact of what they were trying to do has been lessened, has been dropped, because we are now talking about a minority, and it is a minority, it's a very small percentage of the thousands of people who are out there today, who took this too far, who got into the ground, broke into them, breached security, got into the stadium, who at some point were having almost running battles with the police, were apparently throwing objects. We saw a policeman on screen that came back into the stadium with a cut, I mean, inches below his eye, Rob, and it looks like there were stitches in there and things. So for me, I cannot back those actions as much as I back the protest. I back the ability and the right to have your say and have your voice heard. The some of the scenes we saw today are a poor reflection of Manchester United, and for me, that is the biggest disappointment.
We didn't get to see the end of the story, I guess, Rob, and the game being played, or what was going to happen at those hotels when we saw the fans outside the Lowry Hotel in Manchester as the team were inside, and I understand like there's a lot of protest there, and maybe we're potentially stopping the bus getting to the stadium. Was trying to get the game postponed, the goal of this group, I don't know. What I would say, Rob, and you know, there's always two sides to a story, okay, and you know, through social media there's been some pushback on how we covered it, what we said about the protesters, potentially not understanding the feelings of these fans. And, you know, from our colleagues at Sky in the UK, there was a kind of a different vibe coming off of their analysts, et cetera, there of kind of, you know, this is the fans being heard. And in some ways, this is kind of okay. And it's just a small minority went over the top. That's a different reaction to what we gave, yeah. And I stand by absolutely what we said and what I still feel now. We've had time to digest that and listen to that and appreciate and listen to other people. That's all part and parcel of our job. Do you feel any differently, Rob? Yeah. And again, like, I think we do understand for the most part. We're not, you said it, we're not Manchester United fans, so we don't know every little detail of every club that goes on there. But we understand the structure of football. We understand the Glazers in terms of their ownership. We understand their frustrations. Absolutely right. And trying to force, I guess, your owners to sell the club is the goal ultimately, Rob. They want new owners. We're told to say what we see. And from the pictures here in the US of what we saw there with bottles flying around and different ages of people and stewards potentially under threat. Lee Dixon reported an Arlo from the stadium, Rob. And if there's one, you know, in terms of Lee Dixon, particularly his kind of summary, he was, you know, in some ways feared for his own safety and said this was kind of way out there and absolutely out of order. Potential criminal damages, trespassing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We've been accused, my friend, and I'll be quiet in a second, focusing on that side of it. And those fans that went over the top, and the general protest is what it's all about. I know it was, but when that is going on and you're breaching, we've been around the game a long time, Rob. Now I'm 52 years of age. I've been watching it, playing in it, analysing it almost forever. I can't remember that sort of behaviour from one's own fans to their own property, and the damage was so much that the game couldn't get played. But I want to swing back to you, Rob, on a little bit of pushback.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That's what social media is all about. Do you feel anything differently, Rob? Is there another side of that, this story, that we didn't recognize enough during the day today?
No, and I always, when I broadcast, I try and always take perspectives of the other side. I think that's important, to be objective, to not be a fan and put my own onus on that. Objectively looking at what I see. I agree with you. I stand by everything I said today, because I wouldn't say it if I didn't. I won't say anything for effect. I won't say anything that's more populist. I won't say anything that more people are going to like. I totally accept pushback from some people who may be more invested, more Manchester United fans, know more about the club than me. I welcome social media, if it's done in the correct manner, for people to disagree with us, to show us a counter-argument. Maybe we are missing something. We don't ever rehearse what we're going to say. As the two Robbies, we don't ever think the same thing. We're very different in the way we think and do things. So I don't want anyone to think like this is a company line or it's two Robbies stick. You know, if I disagreed with you, I'd let you know, and we'd be having it here. But as I saw today, Rob, I cannot condone some of the things I saw, and they might not be as big as maybe some people saying we were making them. But if one person lost his eye today, the policeman who was inches away, it looked from something happening in his eye, that's not right. That cannot be right. There has got to be other ways that this group of fans who I support in their protest, who I support in the way they have a right to protest, but this group of fans have got to find another way of trying to push the Glazers into a position where they are. Because if we're saying today was point one and we didn't get a game and the fans breached the security and there was a bit of a running battle for a while outside the stadium and then it got cleared and we are where we are, you know, the match didn't play, what's next? Yeah. What's fan protest 2 and 3 and 4 look like? I mean, are we going to have street riots? Is that what it's going to take? Because that's the only way that the Glazers... I just don't see as that's the right way. I don't necessarily think that's the way that's going to move the Glazers. And Rebecca Lowe posed a really good question to us today. And I think we should, you know, we should hit some difficult areas. She said, if you were Glazers, would that make you sell? And it was a really tough question because one... I don't know the Glazers. We all don't know the Glazers. Not that visible. We know they're businessmen. We know they've bought the football club. We know it's run in a certain way. There's been a lot of pushback in terms of investment and all those things. But somehow they've got the reins. They own the football club. I'm not sure if it would almost make me go the other way if I'm them. I might think, you know what? I'm not being bullied out of this. I don't know. I just not sure what the next step is to try and make this thing move on and become a better situation.
Other ways of protesting, Robert, and, you know, again, through social media and people are having their comments and saying we've tried for years and years to peacefully protest.
Yeah.
I can't remember what doing or covering a game at Old Trafford where there's no fans there. They've turned their backs or...
Yeah.
They protested, they haven't turned up, or, you know, isn't there other ways to try and persuade your owners to lose interest in your football club? Because that's what they want. And I understand that.
Yeah.
But if people think that's okay today, that's showing the emotions and we don't understand and we're tone deaf for the United situation, I'm not having it. I'm just not having it. Yeah. That's not the right way, as you said. Okay, it didn't work this time. And it was supported before, so let's take it to another level. I just... Sadly, right, that's the ownership in football nowadays, where it sold out a long time ago with IPOs and clubs going public, etc., etc. And of course, it's very, very difficult to regain control. We know what happens in Germany, the Bundesliga. We understand the ruling of an extra percentage for the fans, so certain things can't happen, and that protected those clubs in this European Super League breakaway. I get that, love that, respect that.
Yeah.
That's kind of gone a little bit, and it is what it is. And you know, listen, I could spend 10 minutes talking about why I feel the fans in terms of the way that the owners of some of these clubs haven't communicated, they haven't invested, they've levered buyouts, you know, lots of things, haven't backed managers and haven't done this and haven't done that. And I get all that, and we agree with all that. But there's ways of doing things, Rob. There's ways of trying to influence your football club. I cannot, looking at those pictures with things, the safety of police officers, even their own stewards, yeah, potentially.
People, I mean, it's interesting, Mum, Rob, because it's a really difficult time in the UK at the moment. They've been under pretty much a 12-month lockdown. Things are just starting to open up. I think the pubs have just opened a week or so ago, yeah. You know, outdoor drinking, a few places. So it's been a really difficult time for the country from all respects. And maybe there was a bit of, you know, people want to get back to normal. People want to get back to football. I'm just a little bit, I'd love to get your thoughts concerned on, there's a lot of talk in the Premier League that I think after May the 17th and the government make the next announcement, there's a thought that the last two games of the Premier League, the last two rounds of games of the Premier League, there's going to be fans in stadium, and every team's going to get one home game where they're going to get a section, a number, percentage of fans in the stadium. How do you think that's going to go down at Manchester United in the current guise? I mean, where are we with safety, security, yeah, what that all might look like on the basis of what we saw today?
Yeah, the second last match is Fulham, I believe, at Old Trafford. And absolutely, I thought exactly the same thing. I'm like, wow, there's going to be fans allowed in here soon. Where does this go from here, Rob? You know, where does it go? Is there, I don't know, is there going to be a like, well, we've let our feelings very publicly there. Or do they continue this? I mean, and also, obviously, the team are doing pretty well and there's signs of progression. Yeah. And Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has done a good job and he's rallied the team into the second best team, it seems, in the Premier League. You know, a great chance of winning the Europa League. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, wow. From protesting unhappiness to this, it was a very large and significant jump up. And I, you know, in terms of where we go from here, it's tough to know that. But
do you think that there's any danger of, based on what we saw today and we're talking to Rebecca sort of as things were breaking out and things were happening and the story was developing and unfolding, and there seems to be a thought that there could be some sanction for Manchester United in terms of, you know, not looking after the stadium, you know, the breach of security, whether there's some penalty or something about that. I mean, do you think we're at the stage where it could be in doubt that fans are allowed back into Manchester United for that game against Fulham?
Yeah, I don't know the, you know, it's hard to know all the FA rules on this, Rob, but it's not okay for your own fans to stop a game being played.
Yeah.
You know, bringing the game into disrepute is a phrase that we're used to in the UK, and there's often a punishment to that. I just don't know what the rules are. But it feel like this shouldn't be okay. It shouldn't be okay for fans to have this kind of protest and affect the starting of a game without there being some kind of consequence, Rob. Again, you know, a lot of people support this. A lot of people have supported it and didn't think that outside a few that there was anything that was too wrong today. And I think that's where there's a difference, right? We can say what we can say, and other people can say what they... I think that's the difference that we thought that... Rob,
when you smash in a gate or a door or something to get entry into a stadium, when you, you know, go onto the pitch, when you break COVID rules that can affect players... I mean, there was supposedly one fan in the dressing room. Now, if he's carrying COVID or has touched certain things and this is a bubble, it's a bio-bubble that the Premier League have been brilliant at...
Yeah.
And that could just kick off like that, and all of a sudden the whole league could be in jeopardy again.
Yeah, it could. I just, we'll see what the fallout is. I think everybody's been very careful. I mean, we kind of thought the game was potentially going to go ahead. Things looked like they were kind of getting back to normal. We're kind of preparing. The teams came out, didn't they? We went through the players that were picked and selected for this very, very important game, particularly for Liverpool and their hopes of finishing the top four. And then all of a sudden, of course, safety concerns. They couldn't guarantee the safety of the players and everybody involved inside the stadium. And it's postponed. When that game is going to be played, I guess...
Yeah, that's a massive thing, isn't it? It's a massive, another problem the Premier League have got. I just want to draw you to two other thoughts, just before we move on. And obviously, there's going to be more discussions, no doubt, around this subject. Just, you know, and I always think the thing we can do that's maybe different from many people is put ourselves in the minds of the players. mind of a Manchester United player and a mind of a Liverpool player. Now, I've been a Man United player, Rob, and I was kind of thinking this. I kind of would be probably a bit, not disappointed in the action, but the outcome of what's come and the way that it's come, because right now I'm in good nick. Right now we're flying. Right now, a home game against Liverpool, I fancy myself to get the game done. And by the way, if we do that, take care of business in the Europa League, we're probably going to guarantee a second spot. We can start tailoring down to get ourselves ready for a Europa League final. This yep. just throws things up in the air a bit again. Yeah. Somewhere along that line, maybe when you want to just ease off because things are... You might have a game against your biggest rivals the last week before the season, close to a Europa League final.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious. More unsettling for Liverpool players, Rob. If you're a
yeah,
Liverpool
player... Yeah, that's what I was going to go. And as a Liverpool player...
Yeah, just more unsettling. More unsettling. What sort of environment are you going to go into? I thought the police, by the way, did a really good job when they got themselves
when
set.
When they eventually got there, it took a while.
They split the crowd. They pushed them out really well. So you kind of assume that it would have been okay. But obviously, the damage to the stadium was such that they couldn't guarantee the safety. I don't know. As a player, it's like, you know, on the bus situation, we didn't get pictures of the Liverpool team hotel or their bus. And I don't know what that situation was going on. It's just difficult to comment on our experience because this is so, like, different and troubling in some ways. And like, wow, I don't know.
I'm just hoping this doesn't become a trend and a trend that starts to, you know, we see at other clubs on different occasions getting more numbers because that would be a backward step.
Fan power
at the moment,
good.
In the last few weeks, it was sky high and had so much positivity behind it. I think a little bit of that shine's got worn off over the last 12 hours.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's lines that can get crossed and they crossed them today, or a section of fans crossed them today, and that's not okay. And if that seemed to be, support is probably a strong word, but not condoned that much, then you might see that again, which would be awful for a league and a country that's gone through difficult times, but it's still a great product. The Premier League is such a great product. And of course, you don't get the owners sometimes that you want. But
the strength of football, the soul of the football community was shown with the Super League. And it showed everything that's good about English football. Like the big club, you know, we were standing up for what we believe in. We're standing up for all the clubs, and we stand. And that puts England in the Premier League in a unique position. And some of that was lost. A little bit of that was etched away today, and that was disappointing.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters. Both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I tell you what else would be disappointed, Rob, and let's maybe turn it now to a little bit more football. Would have been Manchester City, by the way, because under the circumstances, they might now have the champagne out of the fridge, I think Pep called it. They were putting it in the fridge last night. It might have been out of the fridge. And, you know, if Liverpool had beat Manchester United, if that game had gone through, Manchester City would be crowned champions.
Yeah, they could possibly have done that, but that's not going to happen. That's not happening unless this game does get rearranged.
Yeah,
they play Chelsea next weekend, Rob. Of course, they got PSG. That game on the Tuesday at home to try and get to a Champions League final, which is super exciting for them. But they can win the title if this game isn't played by beating Chelsea on the Saturday after the Tuesday next weekend. That's when they can do it. And it is only a matter of time, Rob. We saw today City with players that haven't been playing so much and have been a little bit off form, but still classy players. Sergio Aguero score a wonderful goal, Rob, and a real reminder of a natural-born, gifted striker. His action, the technique, you know, striking that ball and still managing to keep it down for the first goal. Ferran Torres for the second goal as well. I think you mentioned it when we were doing the highlights. He's got an eye for goal, this kid. He can find those corners. 2-0. Comfortable, Rob, wasn't it, against Crystal Palace?
Yeah, it was. It didn't start the game so well in the first half. Rob Sterling was sort of couldn't quite get his shots off. Looks a little bit frustrated in himself. It was an interesting team. It was pretty much a reserve squad. I think we looked at the subs at one time. It was stacked with players obviously ready for the big game against PSG that comes up on Tuesday. But, they got the job done. And I smiled to myself when Sergio Aguero received the ball in the box and smashed it into the back of the net. Because I thought to myself, can't wait for tomorrow's podcast so I can say one more time to Robbie Musto, the purest, most natural in the Premier League, Sergio Aguero. And I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to say that too many times, which kind of leads me to ask a question I threw at you before, and I think you feel less inclined to me, like, is there still a spot for Sergio Aguero in the Premier League? And if it's not with Man City, couldn't somebody do with Sergio Aguero? Couldn't Chelsea do with a year or 18 months of Sergio? A bit like Cavani's done at Manchester United.
Quite possibly. This weekend was the weekend when the strikers fought back, my friend. Mm. Strikers fought back, particularly through Man City with the false nines, etc. Was the art of a striker kind of petering out? Certainly has under Pep Guardiola, but there's still a role for strikers. And back to your question, I mean, it wasn't just the goal.
Yeah.
It was his general play. Mm. It was his sharpness, his fitness. I looked at him in the 80th minute or just before then? I thought he looked very, very strong, very, very sharp. And his interview afterwards, where he's saying, I feel good, my knee feels great.
Yeah.
You know, and then they think, wow, is this a little early? A Man City, could they have given him another year's contract?
Yeah.
Who knows who they might be bringing in the summer? The City fans might be excited about that. There's potentially some big guys out there to try and bring in. But back to Aguero, I mean, he looked in good shape. There's absolutely many, many, many Premier League sides that potentially could be interested. They will have to look into the injury part of it, and he's missed a lot of games. But wow, yeah, there's a few clubs, Rob, that could do with that striking talent. There isn't many around at the moment. We know there's some aging ones, and we know there's some superstars in Haaland and Harry Kane. Not many others that could make Premier League teams better. Aguero could for many of them.
And I'll tell you what else, mate, just in case, and you know, it looks like Pep's going to go false nine. It's not bad to have that fit, raring Sergio Aguero on the bench, knowing if in a 20-minute spell, you need half an hour, you need to bring him off the bench and lighten things up. Because, as you say, he looked in really good nick. Let's talk about that game, the big game this week. On Tuesday, Man City take on PSG, 2-1 up from the first leg. Our partners, PointBet Sportsbook, have given us the odds on this one. And they have Manchester City at -625 and PSG at +400. So, pretty strong favourites that Manchester City get this job done. You talk about Mbappe, whether he's going to be fit. Obviously, Neymar will start, and Pep Poch will maybe look at days in his Spurs days when he got one over against Manchester City. But 2-1 up, if the nerves don't come rushing back and they don't get a bit of stage fright, I can't see anything but a City win.
Yeah, I agree. But I still think +400 is not bad value for PSG. Yeah, they've got some world-class players. The downside is that Man City rested. I think there was 8 changes for this game, Rob, against Crystal Palace. 8 changes. So they're all going to be fit, ready to go, and benefit from the confidence and the belief they should have gotten in the second half, where they outplayed PSG after, for long periods, getting outplayed by PSG and chasing shadows a little bit after brilliant first half an hour, particularly from PSG. So, of course, I see Man City as favourites, but only one goal difference. I know the two away goals could prove very important in the event of a draw, but I still think plus 400, this is still a very, very nicely poised game. But City, I just think that last 45 minutes was a special 45 that's going to, I just think it pops them onto a different level, Rob. And you look at the other side of it, Chelsea and Real Madrid, which we'll get onto. I don't see a team that's as good as Man City in all areas of the field. And I think they will go through and ultimately win it.
Yeah, so big night on Tuesday night at the Etihad. Moving forward to Chelsea, let's talk quickly about their game at the weekend. London Derby against Fulham. A Fulham team who were desperate for 3 points just to give themselves a chance of trying to rectify and stay in the league. A Chelsea team who were going swimmingly under Thomas Tuchel. Well set up. Interesting team selections. We saw Zouma come into the team at the back. We saw Billy Gilmore holding a midfield role, came into the team quite nicely. Interesting in the wide positions, it was James and Chilwell. So he was quite strong. He had Mount in the park. And then the front three of Ziyech, Werner and Kai Havertz.
Strong.
It was very strong, very interesting.
And it was strong. Massive, massive game on Wednesday against Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Totally finely poised at 1-1. But we all knew about the importance of this game, Rob, in terms of the top four and getting into the Champions League. There's a bunch of teams now. We watch Spurs that can nick Chelsea for that spot. Chelsea are the ones that if any, are going to look over the shoulder and potentially could get caught. So yeah. I think we both agreed that the Thomas Tuchel interview, the pre-match presser, was all business.
Yeah.
This is the most important game. Mm-hmm. We are going to be absolutely fully focused on this game. The lineup suggested that, you know, and I tell you, other managers, Rob, would have made more changes.
This is
a talented squad. He's got talented players to come in and do a job up front. And Kai Havertz was the benefactor today, Rob, and another performance as a central player, the number nine, with a glimpse of what he can do. Both goals in it. Again, we of course know it's Fulham. And we wouldn't get carried away. And he's got to do this on a consistent basis against better teams than Fulham. But still, it's important to see the natural ability that he's got and the touch that he's got. And in and around the goal, he doesn't look like he's going to miss much, Rob. And a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant bring down by Mason Mount is probably the standout moment in the game. But Kai Havertz's two goals and his general performance has got to give Thomas Tuchel and the Chelsea fans real hope of what he could do for this club in the future.
Do you then, based on what we saw at the weekend, two goals for Havertz, good movement, playing from sort of sometimes in a two with Burn, sometimes is the lead man. Do you see him starting against Real Madrid?
No. No, I still
think the Werner pace is going to be...
Yeah, and the Pulisic form at the moment, the goal threat, his quickness around strong defenders... You know, you think about those Real Madrid defenders, Rob, and you think of Rafael Varane and potentially Sergio Ramos.
Might be, but yeah.
I just think Pulisic gives them more problems with his quickness and his sharpness. I think Havertz could be a little more intimidated by physical defenders. Mm. You know, I know he's bigger. I wouldn't touch it. I wouldn't touch that front three. Mount as well, of course, and Timo Werner's pace that's going to be needed as Real Madrid try and attack and take the game to Chelsea, but no. Food for thought, of course, for the manager.
Yeah.
But I'd be really surprised if Havertz starts this game instead of Pulisic, for example.
Yeah, some real competition in those front points. And we go to our friends again, PointsBet Sportsbook, to look at the odds for Chelsea versus Real Madrid. Remember, it's 1-1 from the first leg. And they to advance to the final, we have Chelsea at minus 167, Real Madrid at plus 125. So Chelsea, obviously home advantage, scored away from home.
Yeah,
it's like favourites, but any value in Real Madrid at plus 125? I mean, experience now to get the job done.
They
might be back.
Yeah, they still got really good midfield players that surely can't be as quiet and as ineffective as they were in the first leg. Karim Benzema has been around forever, but he's a class player. We saw from the goal that he scores in the first leg. Plus one, I thought it might be a little bit more than that or further out than that. I do fancy Chelsea, particularly given the foundation that's been laid by the manager and the defensive strength of the team and the ability to attack in different ways, Rob. Real Madrid will try and get those away goals and try and score. And Timo Werner is important in that regard, his ability to run in behind. I think if it suits them now, with that away goal, I do fancy them. But again, like the other game, there's a lot more to be played in a team that's done incredibly well in this competition in recent seasons and still got a lot of experience to count on.
Yes, you're right. But I just like the way that Thomas Tuchel goes about his business, his preparation, his particulars, his management. Just feel as though he's made a big step. And it could be a really exciting end to the season for Chelsea. FA Cup final, semi-final in the Champions League could go to final. And if they can nick that top four spot, that's about as good as it's ever been for Chelsea from that point of view. Just to move on quickly to a few other games this weekend. Southampton 1, Leicester 1. Leicester missing the chance of securing a stronger space in that top four. Southampton down to 10 men for 80 minutes. Vestergaard with a foul on Jamie Vardy that I think most people, or certainly we, didn't feel was worthy of a red card, but it was, and Southampton managed to get the 1-1 draw. Brighton 2, Leeds 0. Good result there for Graham Potter and his team. Danny Welbeck looked in good nick, didn't he? Earned the penalty.
Lovely goal. Yeah, I think they're safe now, Robert. They'd have done enough now. A little bit more urgency, I thought, in their football, Rob. A little bit more determination to ask questions, to take shots, to penetrate a little bit more. Really good. Leeds a little bit out of sorts. Understandable, given what they've done in the season that they have. They're still in an unbelievable spot, 11th place back into the Premier League. But maybe just fell away a little bit today. I mean, I'll go on. Everton 1, Villa 2. Really bright from Aston Villa. We enjoyed Ollie Watkins' performance up front. We particularly enjoyed the goal where he steals the ball from Holgate, goes through and stays on his feet and scores. I think, I'm sure you want to add anything to that game, Rob, the Villa?
No, a little bit disappointed by Everton on that one, mate. Yeah, just, you know, chance still of outside chance of top four because of the game in hand. You know, chance for European football top six, which Ancelotti's always said it is the target. Just not quite. And I made the comparison to Tuchel. Tuchel drove his team to make sure they were ready for performance. It didn't look like Everton had that drive. A little bit disappointing.
I'm not afraid to question anybody. And we all know what Carlo Ancelotti's done. Yeah. We've all got tons of respect for him. Mm. Can he be doing a better job with his team right now, Rob, in terms of driving them, of giving them a bit of a shake, given their home performances, and given some of the players that they've got? I know that James Rodriguez fell out late, got injured, couldn't play in the game. Yeah. Are Everton fans going to start to get a little... Shouldn't we be doing better with the setup and the players?
Eight defeats at home, you know, and there's all this talk about the future, and it could be a really bright future for Everton going to the new stadium. You know, the Marcel Brands signed a new contract. You know, the scouting system looks like it's in place. The networks, a lot of good things could happen to that football club. But as you're right, Rob, they've got to get a little shake. They've got to be more ambitious. They've got to have this drive to get to top six. And a little bit disappointed in that one. Couple of quick results on Newcastle 0, Arsenal 2. I thought it was great to see Aubameyang back on the score sheet again after the malaria and ahead of big European week for them midweek. 2-1 down against Villarreal. Obviously, 1-0 will be enough for the Amers, but that's not going to be an easy game. And I thought that it was a morale booster. Let's talk about Gareth Bale for a moment, my friend.
Yeah.
Hat tricks for Tottenham. Is that almost a point to Jose Mourinho? Is this this is what I can do?
Yeah, and not, well, I'll talk more about him, but also in general, the squad, Rob, and the team selection. Lo Celso, Dele from midfield with Son and Kane and Bale and Aurier getting forward and Reguilon getting forward. Mm. That's more like it. Utilise the strength of your squad. Don't try and cover up for those deficiencies defensively and, we've got to defend more, we've got to get Bale to come back and we're not going to pick him and Dele's not... Like, I don't know, I enjoyed Spurs today. And again, it's Sheffield United. Yeah. We aren't going to get too carried away from it. But if you're going to play Sheffield United, then go for it and only play one holding player and play attacking midfield players and get in the box. I just enjoyed white shirts, running forward, playing, trying to score and create goals. And Bale... maybe not in the same physical peak that we've seen him before, but he's a talent. He's a scorer. He's got an eye for a run. A couple of things, Rob, and I didn't get to say it in the highlight, but there was a few moments with two of his goals. The first goal, his composure and his patience and confidence to look around the goalkeeper for that goal. And the one where he got played in, where he's gone through, he's run all the way through.
Yeah.
Did you just notice before he just looked over his shoulder to see where the defender was?
That's
a little view, and then he takes it onto his left foot and sticks it into the top corner. Now, if that's Timo Werner,
and
I think he's doing that. I think Werner's head down, he's going all the way through, and he's going to try and score. But Bale's just got that bit more experience. He's done it in massive games.
Poise and confidence in what he's doing.
Yeah, a little look. I'll take my time here. Yeah. What's going on behind me? Oh, yeah, right. Okay, I'm on my own. I can move at that side. And he stuck it away beautifully. Third goal, power. I mean, he's a talent. He's a talented player. And as you said afterwards, it felt nice to be on the front foot, attacking teams.
Yeah.
And that's what this Spurs squad at the moment can do. We'll see what happens in the future against tougher opponents. Maybe with a new manager for next season, Rob.
Mason in. I'm starting. Let's get it trending. Mason in. Listen, it's been quite an emotional day.
Yeah, a long day.
A Manchester United fan protest led to the postponement of one of the biggest games in English football. Not a good look for United, I don't think. I don't think it was a good look for English football, but some of the protesters may feel they at least made their mark. We'll be back on Tuesday with a special podcast. I've got a special guest. Sat down with Manchester United superstar Paul Pogba for a podcast that was very, very interesting. So we'll take a look on that one. But for now, I'm Earl. He's Musto, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe. Stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him.
Good night.
Good night.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.